So, girls, last time we had mentioned we were talking about different things in a TLC diet, which type of kli you can use, what's called a kli. So, a little bit to finish off on that topic. So, first of all, somebody asked me this yesterday. The basic point is that your water bottle. So, can use your water bottle for hand washing. So the general halacha. You can use your water bottle for washing. Some people say that the water bottle's like a one of your plastic water bottles that has disposable ones that has a little tiny opening for drinking, and it doesn't, the whole revis doesn't pour out at one time. It's better to use a different water bottle that's bigger. But everybody says you can use it if you need to make a bracha on it. So if you're out somewhere, tiyul, traveling, you need to use your water bottle, that's perfectly allowed. What about a kli with a hole in it? Now, there's a lot of interesting cases by vessels being broken or vessels that can't stand on their own and different things. Most of them are not going to be so practical, so I'm not going to spend time on them. They're not going to happen to you so often. But it could be that you have a washing cup that is cracked or has a hole in it. Especially if somebody has one of those ceramic ones they use that are fancy for washing. But even the plastic ones can get a break in it or a hole or something along those lines. Or you need to use a cup and that cup just happens to have a hole in it. What is the story? So there are, you see this little crack hole developing. If no water is coming out of that hole, no problem at all. It's the full kli, it's not coming out anyway. What's the difference? Right? Who cares that there's some version of some hole? If it doesn't go all the way through, you're okay. If on the other hand, the crack does get rid of water, so they make certain distinctions. If the water is coming out, but it doesn't come out all the time, meaning it drips, but it's not dripping one drop after the other, like if it's a little bit of a bigger hole, some water is going to drip out. So if you have a revis of water, if you have the right amount of water below the hole, then you can wash with that cup. That cup is completely fine because it's considered to be a cup. The water is below the hole. If the water goes above the hole, the amount that you need, then you should only wash for it if there's nothing else necessary. But that's kind of that idea. If it's dripping out one drop by the other, that's a whole debate. So it becomes a question. You know, nothing else to use. Yes, you do that without a bracha. On the other hand, let's say the hole is big enough where water can pour out of it. What do you do? Does that cup still work at all? So they say that if the hole is, let's say, a small hole, and you can pour water out of it, you can technically use that lecha tchila. If you have enough water below the hole, you can pour from that hole and do hand washing from the actual hole that it's pouring out of. On the other hand, if the hole is big enough to fit an olive, that whole cup is worthless. It doesn't matter if there's enough water or if you're pouring out of that hole, it makes no difference. That cup is completely worthless. So if the hole is that big enough to fit an olive in it, that would be too big, and that makes your cup worthless. So that's in terms of the cups, okay? How much water? I'm sorry, how much bread do you have to eat in order to be able to wash? So there was a debate in the Rishonim. So the question was brought up in the Rishonim, how much bread do you have to actually eat to have an obligation of washing your hands? So one opinion, one doubt, was that maybe you require a kibbetzah. What's a kibbetzah? So a kibbetzah, as we mentioned before, is like the double size of a kazayas. Like two kazaysim. So, to give an example, if I have a slice of bread, a About a third of a slice of bread is probably a kezias. About two-thirds of a slice of bread is a kibetza. So if you have matzah, which is flatter, it's a lot more. It takes a lot more matzah to even reach a kezias. But if you have something like bread, that's what usually happens. So if you're only going to have a little piece of bread, or what could be more of a question is really on Pesach, which is coming up, and you want to have matzah, you don't want to have so much that's a kezias. You don't want to have two kezias. A kezias itself is big enough for you. So what do you do? So one group said, if it's less than a kibetza, you do not wash. Do not have to wash. The reason why is because of the fact that anything that is less than a kibetza cannot be mekabel tuma. One of the reasons why we wash is so the truma is holy, right? When the kohanim eat it, it's not mekabel tuma. So therefore, there's no reason to wash when it's less than a kibetza. Does not mekabel tuma. If it's, some people say, no, you need a kezias, because generally that's the normal amount of eating in order for berachas hamazon. So therefore you should require a kezias. So the halacha that almost everybody follows is Ashkenazim and Sfardim, is if you're going to eat a kibetza, again, this is really much more of an issue on Pesach, right? If you're, when matzah is so much bigger to have a kibetza. If you're going to eat a kibetza, you wash with a bracha. If you're going to eat a kezias, you definitely wash without a bracha, just to worry about the other opinion. If you're having less than a kezias, or some people say you don't even have to wash, but everybody says it's a good thing to wash because there are opinions that that requires washing as well. There are a lot of opinions that do say you don't even have to wash, but we do wash just to follow that opinion as well. So again, if it's a kibetza, you would wash with a bracha. Anything less than a kibetza, two kezesim, you do not wash with a bracha, you just wash. So that's the generally accepted halacha, okay? If you take out your Rambam, turn to Perek Vav, last halacha on Perek Vav, and then we're going to try to finish off all these different topics the Rambam didn't talk about in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. There we go. So, okay, Perek Vav, last halacha, halacha Chav. Okay. We have halacha Chav. Next week, we're actually going to go back to one other halacha, which is halacha Yud Ches. But just because of timing, I'm going to finish off with this. Here we go. Sarich Adam, Linagev Es Yadav, V'achar Kach Yochal. When you wash your hands for bread, you have to dry your hands before you eat. B'chol ha'ochel below nigov yadayim, anyone who eats without drying their hands, right? So you wash your hands, you must dry them. Anyone who eats without drying their hands, ka'ochel lechem tame. It's like they're eating tame bread. This is a line from the Gemara. So anybody who eats bread and their hands are wet, it's like they ate lechem tame. V'chol ha'notel yodov ba'achrona minage v'achar kach mevarech. Again, for those who wash mayim achronim, talk about that later. So same halach. When it says mevarech, it means berchas hamazon. V'tekef l'netilas yadayim berchas hamazon. Again, for those who wash mayim achronim, you're supposed to immediately after mayim achronim bench. Lo yafsik b'neim b'davar acher, you can't do anything else. Afilishtos mayim achar shenata yada b'achrona, even if you drink water. Aser achi, if you want to drink water, is aser. Aser achi yavarech berchas hamazon, you have to wait till you bench. So that's a mayim achronim halacha at the end. In the beginning, though, we said even for washing beforehand, you need to have your hands dry. So why do you need to have your hands dry for? So there's two reasons given in the post, Gabby. Yeah.
Wait, for mayim achronim, you should dry your hands?
Same thing. You dry your hands before. Yeah. No. You dry your hands, and then you go immediately to berachas hamazon. Okay. Viva.
their own mom said, like, drying your hands, but it didn't say that your hands need to be dry. So if you did the act of, like, oh, shaking off your hand.
Okay, good. I'll get back to that. Excellent. I'll get back to that. So there's a question. Why do we have to make sure that our hands are completely dry? What's the reason behind this concept? This also, as we'll see a little bit later, affects when we make the bracha, which I'll get back to in a minute. So why do you have to dry your hands? So one reason is because of the fact that we want your hands to be tahor when you touch the bread. You have all this tamei water that passed over your hands. You want it to be taken off of your hands, dried off, so it doesn't touch the bread. The second reason given by the poskim is it's gross. It's disgusting. Moos, you're going to make the bread disgusting. Nobody wants to eat with wet hands. Nobody wants to pick up a piece of bread with wet hands. It's disgusting. Makes the bread disgusting. You're not supposed to make bread disgusting. So these are the two reasons given. Okay. Have some major nafkaminas. One of them would be practical differences. Here we go. So one would be there's a halacha which we're going to talk about again in a little bit, which is if you pour a full revius of water over each hand, there's no tuma left. It was washed off. So according to that reason, if I sit there and I put enough water, which is not so hard to do with the gigantic cups that we have today. So if I want to pour water over each hand, to revis over each hand, I shouldn't have to dry my hands as a halacha. I probably want to, but I don't have to have my hands dry. Whereas it's still disgusting for the bread. The other reason would still apply. The other distinction is, if it's just about the tuma, then it doesn't matter if your hands aren't so wet. If they're slightly damp, that's not going to really pass over any tuma. Whereas it still might make your bread a little gross because your hands are damp. So what do we follow? So the Mishnah Berurah talks about, the Poskim mention that we follow both. We restrict for both. So the halacha became that no matter what you do, when you wash your hands, you have to make sure that they're dry, and you should make sure that they're completely dry before you make hamotzi. So that is the halacha in terms of drying your hands. We have a halacha that you must dry your hands. So some of the poskim said, well, if it's for the second reason, which is what? That it's making the bread disgusting, does that mean my hands can't be wet during the meal when I'm eating? So that's the, was I about to ask? Oh, okay, so let me just get to this and I'll get to your question. So is that considered to be, is that something you have to do? And a lot of the poskim say, no, this concept only applies. You have some, if your hands are damp with something you want to eat, that's up to you. But we say it's only really the bread of washing because that's right before you start the meal. And that particular, that's the one we have to make sure that your hands are completely dry. If your hands are a little wet from the meal, it's not a problem to eat the bread as well. Kira. Right.
Well,
like,
you know those, like, little hands that people
like,
stick out, like,
even though, there you go. I guess it technically could have been possible. Yeah.
So then can you not dry your hand?
So it's going to affect the different halachas we're going to see in a minute. So we'll get back to that in 1 second. It's going to affect a different halacha. When do we? Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Lana.
Do you have to dry your hands if you're gonna walk, like, in a certain distance, like on some distance, when you go outside and you're outside to dry off? And you let, like, the air dry off.
Okay, oh, so I was gonna get back to that. Yeah, I just realized I forgot to say that before I took your question. So, girls, listen carefully. There are tshuvas written about, let's say you go to wash your hands for bread in the bathroom. You're somewhere, you go and you wash your hands. So you're somewhere, you find a bathroom, and what do they tend to have in the bathrooms? Because they're cheap? To dry your hands?
The air dryers.
So there are a bunch of, it's cheaper than getting paper towels open. So Yeah, me too. So the idea was, can you do the drying for this halacha? Can you do the drying by an air dryer? And as asked by Aviva, Lana, and others, so the basic point was, can you just let your hands dry out? Meaning, are you just allowed to sit there, shake off the water, wait a while, let your hands dry out? Is that okay in terms of this halacha? And all these poskim, there were a few different poskim, and the different poskim said that was mentioned by a few of them. They said, basically going through all the sources, that it seems to be that the halacha was to make sure that you had some material to dry off your hands. Reason being is that's the way that your hands get drier better than any other reason. It'll make sure there's no tuma left on them. So they prove from different poskim that you're not supposed to use that. You're supposed to try to find a paper towel. Okay. So you're supposed to have, no, an actual material, a cloth. Cloth. So you can find any sort of cloth. The cloth can be disposable. It can be paper. It can be anything. But some material that's actually going to dry your hands. They all say, obviously, if you're stuck and there's nothing else to do, you can obviously use it. But the point is, you're supposed to try to find something to dry your hands. What can you find? Some paper. What about wiping your hands in your clothes? Oh, yeah. So the Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Tashbetz. It's also based upon a Gemara. But it's the concept is, the Gemara mentions that if you dry your hands in your clothes, it causes you to forget things. Interesting. Why is a good question. But the basic point is, it's considered to be a bad thing. It's considered to be a bad thing to dry your hands in your clothes. Obviously, again, if you have no other choice, then But the basic point is, it's considered to be, right. So it's considered to be something which is not good. Okay. So we'll stop here. Next time we're going.